Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Generation Y ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible, starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
There are days like today where I am just too busy to get outside and go feed myself. And that's where DoorDash comes in. It's super convenient, and they bring the food to me. Also, I don't like paying delivery fees, so I have DashPass. DashPass is an exclusive membership from DoorDash that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders and members-only deals and discounts, all for only $9.99 a month. DashPass actually pays for itself in 2 orders on average. DashPass makes it easy to save at restaurants, grocery stores, and all your local favorites. Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for DashPass today only on DoorDash and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply. How are you doing tonight, Aaron?
Well, Justin, how are you?
I'm doing great. We have CrimeCon coming up.
If you don't have your tickets yet, then use our discount to get your tickets. Go to crimecon.com, and when you're registering, they'll have a little field for a code. Use GenY19. That's GENWHY19.
And I'll be at True Crime Podcast Festival, July 13th. Marriott, downtown Chicago. Their website is tcpf2019.com. Get your tickets. Hey, I want to tell you about Stitcher Premium. You can go listen to our back catalog and new episodes of the show, all completely ad-free. In addition to ad-free episodes, you can also listen to tons of other ad-free Wondery shows. With Stitcher Premium, you get access to hundreds of hours of original content, audio documentaries, and exclusive bonus episodes from some of your other favorite podcasts. You can sign up now for a free month at Stitcher Premium by going to stitcherpremium.com/Wondery and using the promo code Wondery. Once you're signed up, just download the Stitcher app for iOS or Android and start listening. That's stitcherpremium.com/Wondery and promo code Wondery. We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia of being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500.
This episode is brought to you by June's Journey. Unleash your inner sleuth and step into the glamorous 1920s. Uncover scandalous family secrets and solve the mysterious murder of June Parker's sister. With dazzling hidden object scenes and riveting storylines in each chapter, June's Journey invites you to a thrilling era of mystery and romance. And now, June needs your help, detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Your adventure awaits.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Joining me tonight is Jason Watts, a friend of Brandon Lawson's. It's been some time, but we covered the Brandon Lawson case on Generation Y, and we, just like everyone else who has come across this case, has found it fascinating and yet tragic, and still it remains a mystery. Hello, Jason.
Hello, how are y'all?
Doing well, thank you. How do you know Brandon Lawson?
Brandon and I attended the same high school in Joshua, Texas. We knew each other. We had some classes together. We would kind of talk to each other when we passed in the halls and stuff like that. Always had a smile on his face. Nice guy. Would give you the shirt off his back to help you out. I was kind of an awkward, goofy kid in high school, and I caught my share of flack for it. But Brandon was one of those people that never, ever disrespected me, and he always treated me with the utmost respect and was always nice to me. And so, I always had that same respect for him. And when he went missing, I kind of decided to take it upon myself to try to help his family out in any way I could. And that's basically what I've been doing for the past 5 years.
What do you know about Brandon's parents? Do you know much about them?
Well, I know they miss their son very much, and they haven't given up hope in trying to find him. And I've gotten to know Brandon's father, Brad, a little bit, and I have a lot of respect for him. He's a real nice guy, works hard, and he's a true leader and a true patriarch for his family. And he's helped keep the fight to, bring Brandon home going.
And what do you know about Kyle? Kyle Lawson has only really been on people's radar because he had spoken to Brandon around the time that he went missing.
Right, right. Well, Brandon and Kyle were very close. That whole family is really tight-knit. They all take care of each other and have each other's backs. And to Kyle, Brandon was a good role model and a hero to him. As a matter of fact, when Brandon... I'm not sure which one led the other, but when Brandon moved to San Angelo, Kyle went with him. They went down there for looking for work and stuff like that. And so they were always there for each other, and they had a really good, strong bond. I know Kyle has felt some guilt, over what happened. It's been hard on him to lose his older brother.
And how much older was Brandon than Kyle?
I'm not sure exactly. I want to say it's like 2, maybe 3 years, something like that.
I've seen a picture of the two of them when they were pretty young, and they look about 2 years apart. But I just wondered if you knew.
I don't have the exact number, but I think it's like 2 or 3 years, something like that.
Do you have any memories of Brandon from high school that would shed light on his personality?
Yeah, I have one that sticks out to me. I don't remember which grade we were in at the time, but I remember, I want to say it was history class, and the coach said something, and I don't even remember what Brandon said. It was something smart, Alec, but the whole class busted out laughing, and we were laughing for like 5 minutes because it was just so darn funny. And that's one memory that does stick out to me, pretty strongly. He's a good guy. Liked to make people laugh. He was just like to goof off and have a good time.
So he was the kind of guy that could bring a lot of people together.
Yeah, yeah.
If he's in a room, he can crack a joke. Everybody's right there with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's one of the things that we don't really get to know about people that have gone missing. We get their stories a little late, it feels like, and then the mystery of everything takes over. So we don't get to know them as people. And so getting the opportunity to talk to you, I just wondered, how did you feel about him as a person? What were his personality traits like? Just so people have a better idea of who this guy was and maybe is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's always important to know. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I mean, whenever you have a case where a person is missing, or even, you know, is the victim of a murder or something like that, I always think it's important to get to know the story of the person just as much as it is the story of their disappearance. You know what I mean? It connects the audience in a much more human way to the victim.
Another person that's central to this case is Ladessa, who was Brandon's longtime girlfriend and the mother of three of his children. What do you know about Ladessa?
Very tough lady. That's the best way I can put it. She has, man, you could write a book on this poor woman's journey of everything she's been through over the past 5 years. She has been through hell and is still fighting. You know, she's held it together for her family, and she continues to keep finding Brandon one of her main focus points. You know, I can't say enough good things about her. She's, like I said, one tough lady. When Brandon disappeared, it was Ladessa who really got the ball rolling on trying to find him before really even law enforcement did. I mean, she immediately started getting up in helicopters, printing flyers, just doing whatever she could, you know, to try to find him and try to get his name out there.
So many people must feel powerless when something like this happens. For her, being a mother and trying to keep everything together there and try her best to locate Brandon, that's quite a bit for her to deal with.
Exactly.
Now, let's go to the night of. For anyone who doesn't know, and I'd be surprised if anyone doesn't know that's listening to this, but the story of Brandon Lawson, as we've come to understand it, is he got into an argument with Ladessa and called his dad and told him that he wanted to go over to his place. Is that correct?
Yes.
The plan was that he was going to leave and stay over at his dad's place so everything would cool off.
That's correct, yeah. When Brandon and Ladessa would have their arguments, and I mean, they were like any other couple, you know what I mean? They have their arguments. Every couple does. It was not uncommon for one of them to, you know, leave and kind of chill and clear their head and then, you know, go back and try to hash it out. Lots of couples do that.
So when he went to leave, what do we know about that moment? Because I know for a fact that he took their only charger, their only phone charger. Do you know why he would take that?
Well, without knowing what percentage of battery power his phone had when he left the house, I'm assuming he took it so that when he got to his dad's, he could, you know, plug his phone in and charge it. That would be the most reasonable explanation I could think of.
But it brings to mind another question, which would be, how long was he planning to stay at his dad's? Because if he took the only charger, then how was his girlfriend going to charge her phone eventually?
Well, she had a phone charger that plugged into the cigarette light of her vehicle. So I guess maybe he grabbed the wall charger, and maybe he thought to himself, well, she's got the vehicle charger. She could charge in the vehicle. She'll be all right. I don't know.
The plan was for him to go to his dad's, but he never gets there. What is the route that he would take to go from his place to his dad's? And how long would it take him?
I think I know why you're asking me this question. I've seen it, you know, hotly debated about the route that he chose. Just so everyone knows, there is absolutely nothing nefarious about the route that he took. Highway 277 to Interstate 20 to Crowley Road, which would take him directly to his dad's house, is the most direct route to take. It's a simple north, east, south. I know the other way takes you Highway 67, and it leads you kind of back through this rural, just a really rural way to go. I mean, Highway 277 is rural, and it's very desolate, but the other way is way more desolate. You're more likely to hit an animal on US 67. It's not a route I have ever taken when I've gone down there. I have always taken Interstate 20 to 277 down into Broad. There's nothing nefarious about Brandon's route at all. Once you get on Interstate 20, our speed limits here on the highway are about 70, 75. He could have set the cruise control at 80 in some places and just cruised right on into South Fort Worth.
Now, by the time he left, it was almost midnight, correct? Probably around 11:54 or so in the evening?
That's correct.
And that was on August 8th. So really, the bulk of this story takes place August 9th, 2013, early morning.
Correct.
You already addressed the route that he would take. The other question here is the gas. How much gasoline did his truck have? Because apparently he was running low on gas.
Well, we don't know exactly how much gas he had. We can obviously assume it was somewhat low since he did run out. I think he got into that truck and he probably looked at the gas gauge and he said, you know what? I think I can make it to Brought. And he just unfortunately misjudged. I know you've probably looked at the aerial photos and stuff like that of the area and seen the distance from where his truck was into Brought. And it does seem like it's a little bit of a distance. But when you're moving at 60, 65 miles an hour up 277, I don't even think it's another 5 minutes of driving he would have made it. He was so close to making it into Brought.
Before Brandon disappeared, there were a series of calls made to and from his phone. What do we know about these calls?
When Brandon left the house, he had been gone for maybe a few minutes, and Ledessa had tried to call him. Or she called him, and he did answer. And they talked really briefly, and she told him, you know, hey, go drive around, chill out, and either come back here or go to your brother's. I guess she hung up with him and set the phone down. I don't know. And so, anyway, he proceeds to travel. He ends up running out of gas. Tries to call her and she doesn't answer. And, you know, it's probably possible that she didn't answer. Maybe she's still mad. You know what I mean? Like the phone rings, takes a look at it, says, I'm still mad. I'm not talking to him. So he calls Kyle, tells him I ran out of gas. Kyle calls Ledessa. Ledessa probably looks at the phone and goes, oh, it's Kyle. Answers the phone. She's not mad at Kyle. Kyle says, hey, Brandon just called me, ran out of gas. I got to take him some gas. Will you leave me the gas can? Says, yeah, I'll put the gas can on the front porch. I'm going to go put my phone on the charger in the car. I'm going to go to bed. I'm tired. So Kyle and Audrey, and I think their little boy, get in the car, go to Ledessa's house, grab the gas can, and proceed to head out to Brandon. Now, as they're driving, they're trying to get a hold of Brandon. You know, hey, we're on the way. Where exactly are you? You know, we'll be there. And the cell phone reception in that area is crap. So they're having a hard time, you know, getting a hold of him. And when they do get a hold of him, you know, the reception's so spotty and the calls keep dropping. That's really the nature of all those calls.
So at that point, it was merely, well, he needs our help. We can go out and help him.
Yeah, exactly.
And how far away were they? Did they even know how far away they were? Or did they just expect to drive along the same route that he had taken and run across him?
You know, I'm not really sure about that. I guess when Brandon called them, he must have told them somewhere about where he was. That's just an assumption on my part. But it could have been either one of those. Brandon could have told them where exactly he was. Or, you know, maybe it's as you suggested, they just hopped in the car and they're like, all right, we'll head up 277 and we'll bump into him somewhere.
By the time that Kyle gets there, do you know what time it is in the morning?
Kyle arrived at Brandon's truck at 1:10 a.m.
That's significant because that is about 20 minutes after Brandon called 911.
That's correct.
And that 911 call is basically the centerpiece of this case. This is the thing that people listen to over and over again, trying to make sense of what it is that Brandon is trying to convey to the 911 operator.
Yeah.
It's not a typical call either because it's a call that goes to a local nursing home, not some kind of a dispatch center.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure why that was, and it may be just because the population of Coke County is so small that they didn't feel they needed a dispatch. You know, I don't know that. The population of Coke County as a whole is only about 3,000 people. And the population of Brought is, as of the 2010 census, was just under 1,000.
So it's 20 minutes afterward. And to be clear, that's, well, it's understandable. A lot could happen in 20 minutes, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So when Kyle gets there, he's not alone, right? He has his son with him and his wife at the time?
That's correct.
And they're not actually the only vehicle that arrives. Law enforcement arrives.
Yeah, Sheriff Deputy Brandon Neal arrived at Brandon's truck at the same time as Kyle and Audrey.
So considering how far out they were, that's actually a pretty good amount of time, I would say, for people to arrive and try to assist.
Yeah, I mean, considering where, you know, Kyle and Audrey had to come from, San Angelo, I'm not exactly sure where Deputy Neal was when he was dispatched to the scene. So as far as his, you know, response time being good, I couldn't tell you. I mean, you would reasonably think so. I mean, I, as I said, I don't know where Deputy Neal was coming from. So, if it was at the sheriff's office, which is in Robert Lee, it would have taken him about 17 minutes from the time of dispatch to arriving at Brandon's truck.
Okay. So to kind of make this easy for people to understand, it's at 12:50 in the morning when Brandon called 911. He spoke with the operator, the dispatcher, and
yeah.
I can play that call again for everyone to hear.
9:02:13:0:50:38
911 emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. It's like we're just pushing guys over. Right here going towards Javelin on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. Got taken to the woods. Please hurry.
Okay, now run that by me.
I'm not talking to him. I actually ran into him.
Ah, you ran into him. Okay.
That's the first guy.
Do you need an ambulance?
No, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt? Hello? Hello? Hello?
9:02:13:0:50:38 Now, emergency. Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. Escape, we're just pushing guys over. Right here going towards Javelin on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here that got taken to the woods. Please hurry.
Okay, now run that by me.
We're not talking to him. I actually ran into him.
Ah, you ran into him. Okay.
That's the first guy.
Do you need an ambulance?
No, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt?
And then it's after that, at 12:51, Kyle called Brandon and left a voicemail. Again, you said out there, spotty connection. You just never know if you're going to reach someone on their phone if they're in that area.
Yeah, it's a hit and miss.
Brandon makes some calls. Kyle's wife calls Brandon, calls again. This is at 12:52. 12:54, Kyle's calling his brother. 12:57, Brandon called a neighbor.
I know that's accurate. He did try to call his neighbor, but the neighbor, I don't think, answered. And it's possible he was just calling the neighbor to say, hey, will you go wake Ledessa up? I've got a problem. But, I mean, we'll never know the answer to that. You know what I mean?
There must not have been an answer because at 12:58, Brandon's calling his brother a couple of times. And while that's going on, the neighbor's actually trying to call Brandon.
Yeah.
And so at 12:59, Kyle's calling Brandon, and the dispatcher who had taken the call earlier at 12:50 tries to call Brandon back because she needs more information, and she doesn't reach him. So she leaves a voicemail and even tries calling again.
Yeah. It's everybody was trying to kind of, they were all kind of playing phone tag with each other, you know, trying to get a hold, each trying to get a hold of the other.
Between 1:09 and 1:15, there are a series of calls between Brandon and Kyle. Mm-hmm. And do you know anything about these? Are there, there are some words exchanged maybe, or is it just missed calls?
A good majority of it is missed calls. There is one call that happened at 1:18, and that was Brandon calling Audrey, Kyle's girlfriend, and she picks up the phone, and she Brandon's talking, but the cell phone reception is so bad, all she can make out is, "I'm bleeding," and the phone call gets cut out. And so about a minute later, Audrey texts Brandon and says, "Hey, you know, there's a cop here at your truck." And that's the last communication from Brandon's phone receiving or sending out any kind of calls or signals or anything.
So you said they got there about 1:10.
Mm-hmm.
I know you can't possibly know this, but knowing that Brandon had been in contact with people or trying to be in contact with them via the phone, how far could he have gotten? At this point, they're actually out by his vehicle, and yet by 1:19 or 1:20, all the calls going to his phone are going straight to voicemail. Could that just be because his phone's actually dead at that point?
It's possible. It's possible that he wandered out of range of the cell phone tower. And so, you know, the phone can't communicate with the tower if it's out of range. You know,
he had brought along the charger. That's why I ask.
Yeah. I think his phone didn't actually start going straight to voicemail until around 3 a.m. So if they were trying to call him after 1:19, it was just ringing, which sometimes that'll happen if you step out of range of the tower. I can tell you when he called 911, his phone was pinging near his truck. I don't think that's really something that has really been put out there before, but when he was talking to 911, his phone was pinging near his truck. Now at 1:19, when Audrey texted him, his phone was pinging in an area that was slightly north of there, up by the Colorado River. So he's clearly able to move a distance between 12:50 a.m. and 1:19 a.m. He's clearly moved somewhat north if his phone is pinging in an area north of his truck.
It's tricky because no one saw him, right?
Not to my knowledge, no.
If he's pinging near the truck where they're at, and yet a short, not even that much time later, he's north of there, how do you see that happening?
Something would have had to have happened to cause him to, you know, leave the location of the truck. And it's possible when he ran out of gas, you know, he stepped out of the truck and started walking a little bit and maybe figured, hey, you know, I'll start walking. Kyle will see me. He'll pick me up off the side of the road. Or clearly from this 911 call, he's encountered something or someone that has put him in pretty good fear for his life. And he is being chased, as he states in his call.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly, or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles, and immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements. I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better, notice things like your hair and your nails feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
Has anyone tried to see, and this would only work if the cell towers in the area haven't changed, but has anyone checked to see when that switch would happen between the towers when you're moving away from that area and moving north?
That's one of the things on my to-do list for the next time I go down there.
I think it might help shed some light on what possibly could have happened. They get to the truck. Obviously, Brandon's not around. They don't see him. I have heard that law enforcement never even processed the truck, never checked to see if there were any prints. How much investigation did they do on this truck?
Well, when they impounded it, I mean, you know, they towed it off the side of the road later on that morning because they felt that it did pose a little bit of a hazard to traffic. Going by what Ledessa has told me, she believes they did go through it, like looking for drugs or something like that. Because when they got it out, the door panels were kind of hanging loose, and she could kind of tell that it looked like somebody had been going through the truck. So she believes that law enforcement did kind of go through it, doing like a cursory check, make sure there was no drugs or drug paraphernalia, which there's not being noted as any being found.
They said that there was a depression under a tree where if someone had sat down there, would have a view of Brandon's truck.
I've heard that, but I think that was actually confirmed to be a rumor.
You did say that there was a ping near the truck after 1 o'clock.
There was a ping at the truck when he called 911 at 12:50.
But not
the
later?
No, when it pinged later at 1:19, he was in an area north of there up by the Colorado River.
Law enforcement checked out his truck, but probably just looking for drugs or any kind of contraband, anything that they think might tell them about what happened, correct?
I don't think they processed it for fingerprints, or they didn't treat it as like a crime scene. Like you said, they just went through it looking for illegal substances and stuff like that.
Let's talk a bit about the 911 call. This 911 call ends up being pretty important to this case because everyone who hears it might hear something a little different. And one thing I've always believed is that since Brandon's from Texas and a particular area of Texas, he might have a particular accent that for people in other parts of the country might be difficult to understand, especially given the conditions that he was running around in. You've heard it. I know I've read comments from Ledessa about what she thought when she listened to it. And one thing that's really clear to me is that some of the words that people had trouble figuring out what was being said, you and Ledessa are able to understand those words. But there are also things that are said that both of you aren't real sure about what's being said.
Correct.
At the start of the phone call, and people have heard it again, Brandon is responding to 911 by saying, "Yes, I'm in the middle of the field." But then it sounds like he starts to say something about push some guys over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then right here going towards Abilene, on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. I don't know if he's saying it or I, but he says, got taken through the woods. Please hurry. What do you make of this?
I'm in the middle of a field. Something. Just push some guys over. Out here going towards Abilene on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. A guy's chasing me through the woods. Please hurry. I'm sure you hear when he starts to say, I got chased into the woods, sound kind of dips out a little bit. I think when Brandon is talking to this 911 dispatcher, I don't think he's holding the phone up to his head. I think he's got it on speakerphone. And you know how it is whenever you're talking to somebody on speakerphone, you hold the phone in front of your face. Well, I think while Brandon is talking to her, he is turning his head. I'll put it on speakerphone right now, and I'll say these words at the same time I turn my head, and you might be able to kind of understand a little bit. You know, he goes to say, there's one car here, a guy's chasing me into the woods. And I don't know if you could tell right there, but when I turned my head, the sound kind of faded out a little bit. I think that's what's happening here. And that's why that sounds like that. And I think this happened again. And we can kind of talk about that when we get to it.
It's understandable because if he's nervous, if he's afraid even, then he's looking around.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there is, in fact, somebody out there chasing him, you know, he's running and he's probably looking around to see where they are.
So 911 wants clarification. And then he says, no, we're not talking to him. No, I ran into him.
He was speaking really fast, so she probably didn't catch everything. So she goes, can you run that by me one more time? And he goes, we're not talking to him. I accidentally ran into him. She says, you ran into him. Okay. And then he says, either got or shot the first guy. And he tries to say something else, but I can't make it out because the dispatcher starts to talk over him at that point. I think he's saying something about the second guy, but again, I can't make it out. Because she's already started to talk over him.
What you know of Brandon, is there any chance that he had a gun with him when he drove towards his dad's place?
Not to my knowledge. Now, I'm not even sure if he owned one. That'd probably be a question Ledesa would probably be able to answer a little bit better than me. There's no reports of him having any, you know, firearms on him, but I don't know.
Well, I wasn't able to find any information like that, and so when it's between got and shot, I wonder if there was some sort of confrontation. I wonder if he hit somebody, like punched them.
You know, that's possible. We know it's not in the sense of vehicle because there was no damage to Brandon's truck at all. I mean, I took a look at that truck and I couldn't find anything on it that suggested to me that it had been in any kind of collision. Now, at that point, that truck was a 2000 model, so it was 2013. So at that point, the vehicle was 13 years old. It had its normal, you know, 13-year-old vehicle is going to have some scratches and, you know, stuff from its lifespan. But there was no indication that it had been in any kind of collision whatsoever. So I don't think, I mean, clearly, you know, he's not talking about hitting somebody with his car. Could he have gotten physical with somebody and, you know, hit him? But he doesn't actually use the word I hit. He says I accidentally ran into them. So I'm not, without having more information about what happened, it's hard to say what he means. You know what I mean?
True. It's just Brandon on the call sounds concerned. That's how I would describe
it. Yes, I agree.
Concerned and a little labored, as if he's, well,
running. Yeah.
Yeah. He's running probably in an area where the terrain's not real friendly to him.
No. And you know, even Brandon's dad pointed this out. When you're out there at 1 o'clock in the morning, it is pitch black. You can't see your hand in front of your face. It's going to be a little hard to just take off running out there. There's cactus, rocks everywhere. You're going to trip at some point. So now there are parts of it that kind of clear out a little bit, but for the most part, it's very rocky, cactus, rough terrain, inclines and declines. if you're running out there, it's going to be hard. And if you're chasing somebody, it's going to be hard.
The dispatcher asks if he needs an ambulance. And it almost sounds like he says, yeah, no, I need the cops.
Yeah. I think that's another instance where he's turning his head. You know, he's got his head turned as she asked that. So he says, yeah. And then, no, I need the cops.
This is just the way I took it. But I listened to that and I hear a guy who's ready to respond positively to help.
Right.
Of course, she's asking if he needs an ambulance and he's correcting himself and saying, no, I need the cops.
Yeah.
The call doesn't last that much longer because 911 starts asking if anyone's hurt, but yeah. Brandon's not answering anymore.
Yeah. And she tries to, I think she says, you know, she tries to get him to talk by saying, you know, hello, hello, hello. And he never answers her.
I want to ask you one question about this call that we didn't really go into, but what about this we're not talking to him comment? Because I've heard you say that your theory, possible theory to explain this strange call is that there could have been a near miss with some cars because his truck was kind of in the road. He didn't park it correctly off the road because he ran out of gas. But if there was a near miss and perhaps some other vehicles involved in this, this could have turned into a road rage incident.
Absolutely.
And that's something that happens all the time.
Absolutely.
So it does make some sense. And so when he says we're not talking to him, if we go with that theory, there is that chance that maybe there's someone else who had gotten into a confrontation with these people, but then they managed to get away, but Brandon didn't.
Right.
He was out of gas. And so maybe he's still including that party, even if they're not there anymore.
That's correct. I'm not saying that's for sure what happened. I'm just saying that's a possibility with the things that you compare and couple to what's said on the 911 call, that would all seem to fit. You know what I mean? It's very possible that's what happened. And, you know, the truth is we don't have enough information to know for sure exactly what happened. But as I said, that's a possibility that the stuff you have in the 911 call would fit.
Before we get into what I think are the two theories that are most likely, let's talk a bit about a theory that virtually anyone who's known Brandon shoots down pretty quickly, which is Brandon decided to leave his family and start anew somewhere else.
Well, I'm going to do just like everybody else. I find that highly unlikely. I do not believe for one single solitary second that man chose to leave his family. His kids were one of the most important things in his life. He would not have purposely stepped away from his life knowing he was leaving his children behind. He wouldn't do it. There's no evidence, in my opinion, to support the theory of him leaving voluntarily. He leaves his truck. He doesn't touch any money in his bank account. His cell phone stops operating, basically. There's been no communication from him. There's been no credible sighting of him. Not to mention, I find it highly bizarre that you would leave your life while attempting to call basically everyone in your inner circle and calling 911 to come help you. That does not make any kind of sense to me.
Well, someone might say he's providing his own cover, that this is his cover story.
That is an extremely well thought out cover that has never been seen before.
And I don't buy into it myself because I don't think he would have called his dad and set that up. There are things about this that once you really look into them, like you said, there were too many calls back and forth. He was trying to call and all this went down literally in minutes. Whatever happened in minutes. It also, I guess, might upset you and LaDessa and others to hear that theory because it sort of discounts, you know, his value as a father, as, you know, someone who was trying to provide for his family, had gotten a new job that he was starting soon.
Right.
There are so many things here at work that would have to be thrown out, totally ignored, for us to reach the conclusion that he left on his own, knowing that he wasn't going to come back.
Right. Well, I understand whenever you have a person come up missing, that's almost always a theory that gets thrown out. In every missing person case I've seen, that's almost immediately thrown out there as a possibility. But, I mean, once you start looking at the evidence and stuff like that, you can really start to strike that theory out pretty quick.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Some of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but time for what? If time was unlimited, what would you use it for? If you need to squeeze a special thing into your schedule, do you even know what's important to you and how to make that a priority? Well, with therapy, you can find out what matters to you so you can do more of it. We all need to vent sometimes. We all need to talk about some of the things that have happened to us. And I'll tell you right now, your friends might be sick of hearing about it. So take the burden off them. Let a professional help you. Sometimes it's as simple as just getting something off your back and letting somebody else know so you can feel validated and move on with your life. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/GenY today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GenY.
Now, I know this won't be something you probably want to talk about too much, but Brandon did have some history with drug use. And so some have theorized that he had recently had a lapse, which, you know, that happens with people who have a history of drug or alcohol abuse. They can have lapses. Right. It doesn't mean it's over. There are people that it takes them some time, but they fight through it. But he had possibly had a recent lapse. The night before he left to leave for his dad's, he didn't come back home for whatever reason.
Right.
So there's this question of, was it possible that he was using drugs again and then either hallucinated or became disoriented, and he was just in a really bad area? I mean, you've already described the area. We didn't get to the temperature yet. What was the temperature like at the time?
I don't have the exact temperature for that night, but August in Texas is usually pretty hot and humid. So at nighttime here in August, the low for the night is anywhere from the upper 80s to mid to lower 90s, you know, just depending on what the high was. So it would have been extremely warm and probably very humid. So basically it would have been hot. It would have been hot outside. You can't run around in that, you know, forever, obviously, without something to drink. Probably it wouldn't have taken long to start to get dehydrated.
It's a dangerous situation. You factor in the heat. You factor in this situation where he's run out of gas and he's in an area where if he starts going through the woods, as he would call it, you know, through the rough terrain, it would be pretty dangerous in the dark.
Yes.
The question would be, with the searches that were conducted, and they used cadaver dogs, they had search teams, and they didn't search everywhere, but they searched a lot of land and they were never able to find anything of Brandon's.
Right. I know when he first went missing, you know, the law enforcement really focused their searches in the main area of where his truck was found. And I understand why they did that. I mean, that's naturally where you're going to go. You know, when you find the truck, you're going to use that for the basis of, you know, to start your search. But it was a little later on after that, when the cell phone ping information came out about his phone pinging a little bit north. And by that time that information had come out, law enforcement had basically already made up their mind that he wasn't out there. And so they really didn't take that information and conduct a good search in that area like I feel like they should have. So, you know, they went out there on October 24th of 2013 with the cadaver dogs. And again, in that search, they used the location of where the truck was found as their basis. And they searched, I don't know, like 2,500 acres or something like that. And they ended up searching extending the search area out just a little bit, because one of the dogs showed an interest in an area to the northeast, and that is consistent with the cell phone ping information. But they ultimately didn't extend the search area far enough north to include the area surrounding the Colorado River. So it's quite possible that they just didn't go far enough. And that's really the area where Ledesa wants to get a good search, and I agree with her.
It's been quite a while since this actually went down, 6 years. What has been the holdup with this search? Is it, I mean, because I got a feeling just listening to the sheriff that he's really all about people's private property and that he's not going to permit anybody just to go where they want to go just because they want answers. So is this a situation where it's taken time to maybe negotiate with people that own the property to be able to go out there and search?
It's basically, as you guys stated in your podcast, I listened to it again earlier, the landowners won't let anybody out there without an okay from the sheriff. And the sheriff basically says, I don't want anybody out there. And I don't know if it's because he's afraid of a liability issue or what the deal is, but he is pretty adamant that nobody step out there but him and his people. I don't know if it, and you know, Ledesa has offered him, liability waivers, and he still won't go for it. And he tells the family, don't be harassing the landowners. Don't be calling the landowners. And so it's basically the family's hit a brick wall and their hands are tied. I mean, you can't, if you step across that fence, you know, you're trespassing. So, I mean, what can you do? You know what I mean?
It's troubling information. That's how I feel about it. If you have a family that's even saying, well, check with the sheriff, and then the sheriff's saying, well, no, you can't just go stomp it around people's private property. A man may be dead out there.
And, exactly.
And people want answers. The family wants answers. Ledesa needs answers. His children need these answers.
Absolutely.
And so
absolutely,
I get the frustration.
Yeah. And, you know, if Mr. McCutcheon doesn't want a bunch of random people out there running around, I can understand that. But it's like I tell people, we're not talking about a Frisbee going over a fence or a football getting kicked into somebody else's yard. This is a human being that we're talking about trying to find. So I think he should at least let the family and a handful of people close to the family out there to search. Now, when he says that the terrain is dangerous, he's not lying. I mean, we all know that, but I don't feel that it's impossible to search it. Now you are going to have to be careful, but I think you could let a group of people out there to search, absolutely. I don't think that's unreasonable.
The family had brought in a private investigator, did they not?
There's actually been two, and I can go ahead and mention them because they've been named before. The first one, her name was Miss Brenda Paradise, and then the current one is Miss Paula Baudreau. And I've spoken to Miss Baudreau. She's a real sweet lady, and you know, she really wants to try to help Ledesa get some answers. But she's kind of like everybody else. You know, if you can't step foot on the property, there's only so much you can do.
I know that sheriffs can be a bit unwavering in their decisions, but would they change their mind if experts, if professionals were brought in, like Equisearch?
You know, I think a couple of those groups have volunteered to come out there, and I think he's told them no.
See, that's another thing, is this case has reached a level of notoriety where I'm sure there are plenty of people that know what they're doing who would be happy to donate their time if need be.
Right.
And yet it may not matter. In the end, it's really the sheriff who's got his hands on this thing. And if he's not willing to let it go, then this case may be stuck.
Exactly. That's true. And, you know, that's kind of why this case is like it is because, I mean, if you can't get out there to search, you know, you're stuck.
I want to go over a few more notes that I have. There was an article on Go San Angelo by Krista Johnson.
Right.
And in that article, she mentions that Kyle had heard his brother say that it was Mexicans in the neighborhood who were after him.
Right. Right.
And so my question is, were there some guys that maybe he knew that he thought were after him? Or are you not even sure about the legitimacy of that statement?
I'm not 100% sure about the legitimacy of that. It could be true. I haven't had the chance to speak with Kyle yet to get validity on it. So could it be true? Yeah. Could it be not true? Yeah. I'm just simply saying I have not been able to confirm it with Kyle yet.
If it is true.
I'm hoping to get that opportunity.
Oh, okay. If it is true, it was said that Kyle's response was, are you on drugs? Are you hallucinating?
Well, his exact words are, you know, are you tripping?
Are you tripping? That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that could, that doesn't necessarily mean drugs.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if your buddy calls you up right now and says, you know, hey, I got this going on and on and on and on, you know, you might go, dude, are you okay? Are you tripping? I mean, are you for real right now?
Are you crazy?
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But what that does tell me, though, even if it is just, are you crazy? What are you talking about? Is he doesn't feel like Brandon is making sense at that point.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it could be that, you know, like I said, if your buddy calls you up and says this, you're like, dude, what are you talking about? Why would this be happening to you? You know?
It's very specific, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't know if anybody had looked into that. That's something that I would suggest asking Kyle. I reached out to Krista Johnson, and she was very forthcoming with me and said that she got her information by talking to Ledessa and Kyle for that article.
Right, right. And like I said, that could very well be true. I personally have not been able to confirm it yet.
Another thing is, it strikes me that if that is a part of the call, and he had told his brother that it was Mexicans in the neighborhood, it's just weird that later he's talking as if he doesn't know these people. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the way he's referencing people. Yeah, it seems disconnected. Right. So that's why I could understand why you would say, I'm not sure, I'd have to ask him about that, because it doesn't fit right with the stuff that happens later in the 911 call.
But
I would also say that sometimes when people are in moments of stress, sometimes they place familiar things over that stuff so that they can understand it. Do you know what I mean? It's just like pareidolia. Sometimes we see shapes in the clouds, and people have been known to do this.
Yeah. And it very well could be. I mean, like I said, until I get a chance to really speak with Kyle and kind of confirm or deny this, I mean, I can't really speak much to it. You know what I mean?
So from an organizational standpoint, I know that Ledessa and the family tried very hard to get answers. Mm-hmm. Where is everything at now in terms of, let's say people are listening to this and they want to do something. How can they help? Is there anything they can do?
The best thing I can really tell people to do right now is to just keep sharing the story. Keep email investigation discovery, email the Oxygen Network, you know, Nancy Grace, John Walsh, any kind of media, just anything they can really do to help kind of keep Brandon's case in the light. You know, I personally feel like the more people that are looking into this case and know about this case, the more potential is there for somebody or something being able to convince the sheriff to, you know, allow a search.
Yeah, it's got to be a tough position for people that their hearts are hurting, literally, from Brandon being missing. And they know that one person could make a difference, and yet that person's not doing anything. So part of them, I'm sure, maybe even yourself, might be pretty angry. But then on the other hand, that doesn't solve anything, because at some point you're hoping the sheriff will have a change of heart.
that's the, you know, that's really the best thing we can hope for right now. And, you know, if, their organization, the Coke County Sheriff's Organization, is a small organization. They only have about 6 officers. And so, I mean, if it's a budget or resource issue on his end, I mean, I can understand that. But at the same time, if that's the issue, that's when it's time to allow one of these outside organizations who are perfectly willing to donate their time to come in. You know what I mean?
And is there any possibility that this sheriff could be replaced at some point?
Well, I mean, if I understand Texas politics correctly, he's elected. So, I mean, yeah, at some point the public could choose to elect another sheriff.
And if that happens,
I'm not really sure when their elections are, but yeah.
And if that happened, there would be renewed hope, possibly.
Possibly. And, you know, I've tried to reach out to Mr. McCutcheon. He did not return any of my calls or respond to me. And, you know, I'm just a private citizen, so he's not in any way obligated to speak to me. But, and I've tried to reach out to Deputy Neal. I've had several of my people that helped me reach out to him. He basically says the case is dead and I don't want to talk about it anymore and hangs up the phone. So, I mean, it's really a frustrating thing to not have any kind of cooperation from law enforcement.
Well, I think you're spot on about saying that the more exposure this case has, the better the chances, because we've seen other cases actually come to a close after everyone learned about the case and more pressure was put on people to do something right about it. So I think that's actually a great step. And I do know that we continue to get all, it seems like it's almost monthly, we get emails coming in about Brandon Lawson. And yeah, I know from talking with you, it seemed like there was some concern that people might judge him because of his drug use or that he had gotten into a fight and seemed like he almost stormed out of the house. But I mean, he's a person, a human being, just like anybody else. And none of us are perfect.
Right.
All of us have had moments in our life where if you caught us at that one time and then we went missing, you know, and that was under a microscope, we would have people
right
judging us too.
Right.
You had said that there is misinformation out there, and I didn't get the sense that you felt like anything was on purpose, but, you know, as with any missing persons case, there's a lot of speculation, and sometimes speculation and rumor becomes fact.
That's right.
Or at least that's how people see it.
Yeah. I know one thing that really is brought up is, could the 911 call be edited, altered, or, you know, we're not getting the full version of the 911 call. I have a partner who helps me out with this case, and I can actually talk about this person now that it's okay to. I'm sure you're familiar with the Maura Murray case. Have you heard of a lady named Erin Larkin?
It's not ringing a bell.
She's done a lot of work for the Maura Murray case. She even has her own podcast, 107 Degrees. She's been on Tim and Lance's podcast a couple of times. Really smart lady, really good at getting facts and stuff like that, you know, done and getting Freedom of Information Act requests fulfilled and stuff like that. She contacted me about a year ago and told me, you know, hey, I really kind of want to start looking into Brandon's case a little bit. Can you help me out? And so her and I have been collaborating a lot over the past year. She's already been able to do some good stuff for Brandon's case. I can't talk about all of it right now, but we're very excited to have her on board. Look her up. I mean, and you'll see what I'm talking about. She's a smart lady. And so she actually put in a Freedom of Information Act request to Wayne McCutcheon himself for the 911 call in its entirety, he sent us the exact same thing that's all over YouTube. So this is the 911 call as far as he's concerned.
In fairness to him, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I look at audio all the time. And what I can tell you is, if you're in an area where the connection is pretty spotty, what you think might be an edit is actually just, well, that's what you're getting from the call, because the connection's not very good.
Right.
I don't think enough people have really brought that into account. You know what I mean? Or taken that into account.
Yeah.
Are there any misconceptions out there about Brandon or his relationship with his girlfriend or his family?
I guess I'd have to ask you to be a little bit more specific.
I remember you saying that there are things that people have said that just aren't true, or people have the wrong idea about certain things. I didn't know, especially in a case like this where people might misread things.
I mean, you know, there's your basic stuff. There's people that think Ledessa is somehow involved in Brandon's disappearance, which is just complete nonsense. There's people that think Kyle's guilty of something in some way, which is, again, complete nonsense. Neither one of those two deserve to be tried in the court of public opinion. And I've seen people do it to them, and it's just not right, and it's not fair. And you see that a lot in missing persons cases, where the family or the person to last associate with the, you know, victim is, you know, you get people with the pitchfork mentality, as I say. You know, I know there was a little bit of a rumor. Well, it wasn't really a rumor. It was something the sheriff thought initially, maybe, was that Brandon ran off with another girl. That's complete crap.
It doesn't fit with the calls.
No, it doesn't.
And I would go as far as to say, whether he was not in his right mind or whether he was being chased, I doubt Brandon's an actor. He sounds legitimate. Whatever he's saying, he believed it at the time.
Exactly.
And so there's no setup here for him to just disappear with some other woman.
Right. He left behind every resource. You know what I mean? I'm sure you've heard the rumor of his 401k, how he thought about cashing it out, and people like to point at that as a sign of him, you know, trying to leave his life.
Yeah, I looked into that. He didn't even get the money. I mean, the money came into the account, but it was never withdrawn. This is just a guess on my part. But did he actually close out his 401k because he was changing jobs?
Yes. He wanted to combine the 401k with the old job to the 401k with the new job, you know, like a IRA kind of thing, to where you can keep building. And that's the only reason he was looking to take it out.
It never made sense.
Yeah, he just wanted to continue on the benefit. And the total amount he would have gotten from doing that was really kind of insignificant. I think the total amount of the stuff that he accrued was only like, you know, maybe it was less than $1,000. It might have been around like $700. But I mean, after you pay they're going to take out the penalty for you cashing out, and they're going to take out taxes. So he might have walked away with, what, $400 if he was lucky? I mean,
not really money to start a new life.
I can tell you, he left more money in his checking account than what that 401k would have been worth. So, you know, you can strike that down pretty quick. One other thing I've seen people doubt is the 911 call from the trucker. They think just because that phone call is not, you know, out in public, means that it doesn't exist or something. I can tell you the 911 call from the trucker does 100% emphatically exist.
And this is the call that he made because he felt that this truck was sort of in the road. Not all the way in the road, but it presented a danger. You know, I mean, as we know, as we're driving along, especially at night, people might drift a little bit, and that truck would be in the way at some point for somebody.
Right.
You said it exists. Have you heard it, or do you know anyone who has heard it?
That's the part where I kind of got to say I can't talk about it.
That's totally fine. It's enough for you to say that you know it exists. I think that's plenty of information.
Right.
what do you want people to know as they go forward? Would you want people to know more information about Brandon's height, his weight, his appearance? Or do you think that's not even important at this point, that people should just continue to spread the word about this disappearance so that more and more people learn about it and more people care about it?
Well, they're both important. I mean, you know, it's always good to have the basic information about the person, you know, height, weight, that kind of thing. That's always important to have. Is it 100%, you know, necessary to share the story and keep it alive? No, but I think they're both important. You know what I mean? And, you know, just never give up. And, you know, one person can make a difference. And that's part of the reason, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm doing this, is because I firmly believe that one person can make a difference. You know, you can make a difference in other people's lives. Bring the family hope. You know, I think that's one of the greatest gifts one human being can give to another is hope, you know, help keep that hope alive. I firmly believe 100% that Brandon can and will be found. Unfortunately it will take time, but, you know, I have a vision where one day that cross that sits there on Highway 277, just south of Bryant, one day it won't say missing on it anymore. So, I'm going to continue to do whatever I can to make that vision a reality.
And this cross you're speaking of, this red and white metal cross, that's where his truck had stopped that night.
Right.
Brandon was described as 5'9", 230 pounds. He was a white male, 26 years old. He went missing from Bront, Texas. Is that correct?
Right.
He was a pretty stocky guy. He had multiple tattoos. When he went missing, he was wearing a yellow shirt with camo shorts, and he was wearing Air Max brand shoes. And for anyone who has any tips or any other information they think is important, who would you say they should contact?
Man, they can contact, you know, the Texas Department of Public Safety. They can call Crime Stoppers. They can message the Help Find Brandon Lawson Facebook page. They can contact the private investigator, Ms. Paula Baldro. Don't have her number right here in front of me, but I'm sure I can get it to you. They can call the Coe County Sheriff's Department and speak to Wayne McCutcheon. If you're not comfortable with any of that, message me. I will gladly pass the information along. There's lots of avenues to get that across. And, you know, the family will be appreciative of any credible tips that come in. I firmly believe that somebody out there does know something. And if they can come forward, man, you can make a heck of a difference. You know, you can end this for this family potentially and get their loved one back home.
And is there one website that maybe we could give out where people could start there? Is it Missing Brandon Lawson?
Yeah, you can go to that website. You can go to facebook.com/helpfindbrandonlawson. There's a little option there to message the administrators of that Facebook page.
Well, I'd like to thank you for joining me tonight to talk about Brandon Lawson. So often we'll cover a missing person case and we don't always get to speak with someone who is this invested in finding that person, you know, someone that knew the person. Sometimes we do, and it makes a difference because then you get to learn more about the person that is no longer with us, or at least no one knows where they're at. So
right.
Putting a personality to them, also hearing the passion in your voice, I think is important. More people need to know Brandon Lawson and learn about his disappearance.
Man, I thank you for taking the time to chat with me. Anytime I can do anything to get Brandon's case out there and be a voice for him, I'm always very appreciative of that. And I know the family is too.
Thank you so much. And I really do hope that answers come. It sucks that, you know, someone has a bad night and then it gets worse like
this. Yeah. Well, like I said, man, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I told the family at the 5-year vigil that, you know, as long as they will have me and as long as they're okay with it, I will continue to help be a voice for Brandon until he's brought home. And I'm not going anywhere. So, you know, I'm gonna hang in there and help the family continue the fight. It's from the heart, man. You know, it really is. Like I said, man, I'm going to make that vision I had a reality. Brad Lawson once said in an interview, you know, if someone would just show me where my son is, I'd get him and bring him home. And I want Brad to have that. I want those children to have that. I want Ledesma to have that. They deserve it.
We'd want someone to do that for us if we went missing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for talking to me, man.
Thank you.
Super, super awesome.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.